It's me. It's motherfucking Lala Kent. Welcome back to the Give Them Lala podcast. I have my two best friends since birth, really. Yep, Danielle. Say hello.
Why do you say Danielle?
Because I'm from Utah. And it's my Utah accent. And Madison.
Aww.
AKA the hot girl from Grown Ups.
You're welcome for bending over in front of the whole world.
At the ripe old age of 16.
I was 19.
And you were traumatized by it.
Did you have your boob job yet?
Yeah.
Oh, wow.
I had my boobs done at 17.
Oh, yeah, that's right. She got them done super early.
I remember she called me and said, I look different the next time you see me. And I go, you've got a boob job. Because you have to have sex to get pregnant, which you weren't doing then.
No.
So it had to have been a boob job.
She could have got her butt done.
Madison?
Never. I'm not a...
She was pretty flat too, so... But she didn't tell me. You know that.
I didn't tell anybody because I wasn't even planning on doing it. I just went in for a consultation. And he was like, I have a cancellation on Thursday. And I was like, great. I'll get them done. I didn't even... This is how I made big life decisions back then. I did not even think twice.
Wow.
Did you regret that decision or were you happy with it?
I love my boobs.
Amazing.
They're great. They're perfect size. I've had them for, like, they're lovely.
They look natural.
Yeah.
They're not huge.
They feel natural. They're perfect.
Yeah.
They're good.
They're my friends.
They've been with you for a long time.
Yeah.
You know what, though? I kind of feel that same way about my boob job. This, like, woman promised me I was going to be, like, a Victoria's Secret model if I got my boobs done. Spoiler alert, it didn't happen.
Wait, you're the first time
around. Oh, the way
the
that
first
life...
time. Damn, so, okay. Madison and Danielle, we go way, way back, like from, well, not Danielle, but...
We actually didn't even have a choice whether we wanted to be friends or not. We were kind of just...
Thrown into life
as friends and family.
Yeah, because our moms got to be best friends.
In middle school.
And my mom always says that your mom was always very deep... Because in high school, when my mom was, like, picking out a new shirt, your mom was hauling out furniture.
Yeah. She's always really
She did, nice like, mature things.
She did very mature things. So, no, we didn't have a choice, but I feel like I would pick you guys as my friends regardless.
Aww.
Do you feel that way?
Of course.
No.
You do?
She's like, this bitch. I do, but it's beautiful because we are so similar in so many ways, but then we also have totally different... likes also. So it's such a balanced friendship.
I think so too.
On all levels.
And it feels non-judgmental. Like family.
Unconditional.
That's the word.
That's it.
Unconditional.
That's it.
So you guys know that Danielle.
Danny.
Gave birth to the most perfect little boy.
Aww.
Who's here right now. He's fresh off the tit.
Cooing.
Cooing with his dad.
He needs his diaper change. So.
But luckily, his dad knows how to do that.
Yeah.
Good for you. And I really just, Danielle's birthing experience is one that, number one, obviously, I can laugh about now because it's just, you have to know Danielle, all right? Danielle is like, I'm... natural. Don't worry. The baby's not just left crying. The baby's with its dad.
She just walked out. We just put it outside for a minute.
You had this whole plan, Danielle.
Oh, God. You guys, I wanted like natural home birth, birthing tub, like any, all of it.
From
like,
the jump.
Yeah. I worked with a midwife. I went into two OB appointments and they traumatized me. One of them was like, right when I walked in, the first thing she said to me was, you're high risk. And I was like, you don't even know
bitch.
Me. You don't know my health, like how healthy I am. I'm a bit older, so that's why she said that. And I get that they have to say that. But I was like, I don't even know you. And that's what you're going to say to me? Like, this is a scary first
appointment. Well, their first pregnancy, you're going to plant fear right away.
Do you mind saying your age for listeners?
I am 36.
Okay.
Not at all.
And you just gave birth in November.
Yeah.
Okay, so that was the first appointment. Yeah. They did the ultrasound?
They did the first ultrasound, yes.
And everything looked okay?
Prob up your vagina.
Yeah, they probe you.
Yeah. So and fun. Everything looked fine. Everything was normal. She said, well, we're going to have you in a lot more or more frequently than a normal pregnancy because of your high risk. And I was like, I'm not coming into this office every week. Like, fuck that. Then I go, okay, well, I don't want to see her again. She really, I didn't like
her. Needs to work on her bedside.
Yeah.
Right.
Manners. Like,
like no. Etiquette and sweetness, even in a medical situation.
But I switched OBs. I switched OBs like 6-7 months into my pregnancy.
Yeah, you gotta find one that feels like.
It was maybe at like 20. I'm bad at months and weeks. What? How many months are you at like 25 weeks?
I don't know. It's so weird how they do it by weeks. And you're like, why do they do that? And then when you get pregnant, you're like, because I'm 25 weeks.
Bad at math.
That's like 6 months.
Oh, so I was right. Like I five. Didn't.
I don't even know.
All right. Anyway, I switched OBs as well because I didn't like my original one's bedside manner.
Yeah.
At my 20-week appointment, they send me over the results and I'm Googling all of these big words. And they literally, when I was Googling, it was like dwarfism for ocean. And I kept trying to get my OB on the phone and I'm like, I'm freaking out. I just need to know that my baby's healthy. Like, obviously, no matter what, this is my baby. I just need to know how I need to take care of myself. What do I need to do for the baby? She would not call me back.
That's horrible. And
so I was left to my own devices.
To send you information and not explain it is horrible.
Right. So
as well.
I was like, I'm moving on. And Dr. Rothbart, who delivered my baby, Brittany's baby, Stassi's Brittany, is delivering Christina Kelly's. He's great. Okay, back to you. Yeah. So the second appointment, you had a different OB.
So then I got referred to another one, and I told him that I wasn't interested in doing the glucose drink, because if you do research on the glucose drink, it's super toxic and has lots of fake chemicals in it, and there's really no – or there's other ways to test your glucose level to see if you have digestional diabetes.
Yeah,
I didn't say that right. And so I told him, I was like, I'm not interested in the drink. I want to do it this way or this way or this way. And he was like, nope, sorry. If you're in my practice, you will do what I say, or else you can go find a new practitioner.
All so right, tyrant.
I know. It was very, it was rough.
Like
it was
the arrogance harsh. Sometimes that
and
these
he's like,
people.
I have a high rating of healthy babies, so you must follow my protocol because that's why I have such high ratings. And I was like, okay, well, I don't want to do the drink, so fuck you.
Okay.
So both experiences, I was like, I don't like any of this. So then I went midwife, and I kind of was gonna go midwife. I just wanted to like go to my first appointment and
hear the heartbeat,
make sure it was in there, you know.
Yeah.
And it just rubbed me the wrong way both times. I was just like, got really gross feelings about it. So I went to my midwife and she was glorious. Shout out, Patty. Just did it in her home.
Yeah.
The appointments. I just would go in there. She did it in her
home. We just did it in her home. What did you do in her home?
Like measured the belly. No,
does
she have to
check
finger you and stuff? No, never. She like the glucose, she said, she pricked my finger, tested my blood. Then I got to go eat any kind of breakfast I wanted, and then I came back and she pricked my finger and she tested my blood to see how my blood handled the sugar levels, and she said, you're fine, you don't have anything to worry about.
Okay.
Everything that I did throughout my whole pregnancy was nothing high risk. I had the most easiest pregnancy. I never got sick. All my levels were normal, and I'm vegetarian, so like to have normal like iron levels and stuff, I mean, I had to supplement with like iron, but it was like the easiest pregnancy.
No, you did have an easy pregnancy. At what point did you buy the bathtub and say, I'm balls to the wall
with the
giving birth
in
this bathtub?
Huh. Like since my third appointment, I wasn't even showing yet. And I was like, I'm doing this.
Had you always wanted a home birth? How old were you when you were like, I'm going to do the all natural way, no drugs?
Honestly, looking back, because I've always wanted a baby, but I've always been traumatized about being in a hospital.
Okay.
So I think subconsciously I was like, I'm going to have to figure out how to have this baby more like out of the hospital. And then when I started doing the research I was doing research before I got pregnant, let's be honest. But I think, I mean, forever, I've always probably subconsciously wanted a home birth. And
that is the
really,
most savage thing ever.
You can really romanticize. Well, it's like just naturally. Like
I mean,
there's nothing about that that sounds fun, safe,
It's totally, it's actually safer. Well,
it doesn't sound fun. Birth is sounds terrifying.
It's the whole process. Actually, the statistics are a lot safer.
My birth was awesome.
Yeah.
My birth was like I was shooting rainbows out of my
kitchen. You had no fear going into your birth. You didn't have any anxiety about the whole process. You were totally at peace the whole time. Even though you knew that you were going to do it with an epidural, like you didn't have any anxiousness about it?
I was nervous about getting the epidural because I'm scared of needles.
Yeah, it was bad, right?
No, but when the most basic thing they do to you, which is put a needle in your arm, yeah. Like literally just when you arrive, I passed out twice and I woke up and there were just doctors all around me and they're like, "Are you good?" I was like, "I just went into the abyss."
Are you done? I'll be right back.
I was like, it's the needle.
Did they give you the laughing gas?
No, that's probably what they should have done.
That's when I got my wisdom teeth out and they were going to put me under. They gave me that before they did the needles to kind of like get you.
Yeah, but can you do that when you're pregnant?
They gave it to her.
Yeah.
When she.
Look at her face, Danielle. Yeah. Yeah, they did. Okay, but hold on.
Before I was able to get that.
Okay, so.
Before I was able to get that.
Spoiler alert.
Sorry.
Another one. Sorry. She obviously went to the hospital at some point.
Well, okay. Also, I just want to say up to this point, I'm like, yes, that's what I'm going to do. So I don't know where. I don't think you're going to lose me. I think I'm like home birth. Like the glucose drink, bad.
Yeah, bad. All,
like the midwife.
Wait, you want a home birth?
Jess? Well, I'm thinking about it now. She hasn't said anything to turn me off.
There's really beautiful home births. Yeah. Like it's not
you
always.
You get one-on-one attention with your midwife. You ask her any questions. She spent like an hour with me each visit.
And these are women you're not bonded with. They've delivered hundreds of babies.
So they're far, like, yeah. It's getting convinced to have...
Oh, 100%.
This is
why. And I
would
do it over and over and over again. Midwife all the way. All the way.
No, I love that part.
Yes.
My thing is, number one, if something goes wrong, because you can't tell what's going on with the baby inside of your stomach. Like, I just think I feel more comfortable.
Are you talking about, like, when you're in labor? Mm-hmm.
Yes, okay. When you're doing a home birth. You can't tell. Like, and if the baby needs medical attention when it comes out, like, I just feel safer in a hospital. However, let's just say everything is roses, the baby comes out fine in the end. I think the pain, I would pass out cold.
That's my thing. That's the thing that, because I would be like, yeah, I want to do it naturally.
And
but
I don't
have a great relationship with physical pain.
No.
Emotional pain, mental pain, spiritual pain. Like, I have a high tolerance for those things, right? Like,
right.
But physical pain for me, I'm like,
totally.
Yeah, don't want to. I was the one that you were like, you could probably do this.
My sister has been gnarly since she came out of the womb. She's
That's why I was like,
very high pain.
She's
tolerance.
Like literally crashed on motorcycles and like slid on pavement.
Yeah, she's like, I'm fine.
I'm like, your leg is
like you
pretty
look like
toe me. Up.
She's like, look, I don't care. Let me get on the skateboard.
Don't you think it's gonna score cool?
I would say that.
Did you mention that all three of you live together? So Danny and Madison are sisters, and all three of them live together, right?
Just on and off through
for your friends to know, because I feel like that's a yeah.
Madison, yeah, we're gonna be bopping in and out of your birthing story, just so you know.
There's so much ground.
I first moved out to LA, and Madison and I shared a bed, and I remember that we wanted to get our bodies on point, but we loved to sleep in, so we kept our phones out in the kitchen for the alarm to go off, so that we. Physically had to get out of the bed to turn them off.
And then we just get back in bed.
No, it was the dumbest. Like, there was no drive.
No motivation.
No drive, no motivation. And I think it's after I moved. Didn't you book all that stuff or was it before?
Yeah, well, I was always very responsible. I just wasn't. I've never had the type of, like, hustle ambition. I always was really lucky and I just did things because I knew that it was like a process that you have to go through to get, and then I was responsible. So like that was to the extent, but I didn't have this like fiery drive to win an Oscar.
Yeah.
You know, because totally. It mattered. The care, like I just did not give a shit. I liked my acting classes because I got to like explore my psyche. You know, it wasn't like I cared that much about character work.
And, right. Like, you didn't care enough to sit down, break down a character, really feel what they
Not
were feeling
really.
Emotionally.
The more I got involved with acting, the less I cared about all that. But then there's the speaking. Like, you and I have always loved speaking and kind of performing. So, like, naturally, like, with what we're doing now, that was always fun.
Oh, yeah. That's why I started doing reality TV. I was like, hold up. I get to entertain, but just be me.
I don't have to remember any lines.
No, you're going to shove a camera in my face, which is what I've always wanted. And I don't have, like, I just get to be myself.
See, for her, you get to shove a camera in my face. And for me, I'm like, oh my God, get the camera away from me.
Which is so weird because I remember even back in the day, you got a call from like your manager or something to audition for the OC.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah.
I called my fraudulent manager and was like, I need to audition. And with not even, you actually had a coach.
I got like a call back.
Normal. Okay, shut the fuck up.
Well, so you act like I booked it. It's not like I got the job. I still had braces on.
You put work into it. And at this time, we were taking an acting class together in Utah and you missed to go on your callback. And me, I went to the audition, didn't practice at all, sat in a hotel room. I practiced by myself, but like coaching OC was the biggest show on television at this point in time.
Yeah.
Not 1 minute of coaching. Me and my bronze fucking cowboy boots that I got on Rodeo Drive walked into that audition, never got a call back. She got a call back for everything.
And I would rarely rehearse. I like would procrastinate on working on anything. I'd just like throw myself in front of
her. Such a bitch.
But it's not like it worked out well. Like
it did work out well. Grown-ups
really freaked me out. The pressure, I buckled. That's where it's like I hit that wall.
So when you did grown-ups?
That shifted a lot for me.
Was there someone, Madison, someone we might know who you constantly, because if I understand correctly, actors get callbacks and there's only a few of you. Mm-hmm. And sometimes people, those actors start to see the same people in those callbacks. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, I used to audition with Jennifer Lawrence. Yeah. I went to a movie with her. Back
just as like
just friends, because she had just moved here, I had just moved here, and we would joke and kind of get along in the waiting rooms.
Mm-hmm.
And then we were like, we should hang out and we should go out and hang out. And so we went to the Grove to see a movie, and she showed up late and with her boyfriend. I was like, well, this doesn't feel fun at all for me. I don't know if you just needed time with your boy. Like, I don't know what that was, but. We like saw the movie and then are just like, well, good to see you, and left, and then just never saw her again. Except and then like watched her career shoot up, like Oscar winning actress. Meanwhile, I'm like a bottle girl and like serving in freaking restaurants.
And then later in life, she went on Watch What Happens Live and called me the C word.
Did she apologize? I forgot.
She did, because I went on to Twitter in a drunken stupor and was like, you fucking catch me outside, bitch. And like. I'm about to go toes. I've never been in a fight in my life. And what makes me think that her security guard would even let me within 5 feet of her to drag her? She did it. She sent an apology email.
I have been very transparent with you guys about my hair struggles between the pregnancy hormones and bleaching it all the time. I have been having some serious hair issues. And now with baby number 2 on the way, I'm already being proactive about my hair thanks to Nutrafol. Nutrafol is the number one dermatologist recommended hair growth supplement, with over 1 million people seeing thicker, stronger, faster growing hair with less shedding. And I am definitely one of those people. Nutrafol supports healthy hair growth from within by targeting the root causes of thinning, which are stress, hormones, environment, nutrition, lifestyle, and metabolism. You can take the Nutrafol Hair Wellness Quiz on Nutrafol.com for a personalized hair health plan based on your specific root causes. Because I know we are all different and we're on different hair journeys. Nutrafol makes building a hair growth routine super easy. Purchase online, no prescription required. You get free shipping and automatic deliveries so that you never miss a day. And you'll see results in 3 to 6 months. So take the first step to visibly thicker, healthier hair. For a limited time, Nutrafol is offering Give Them Lala listeners $10 off your first month subscription and free shipping when you go to Nutrafol.com and enter promo code Lala. Find out why over 4,500 healthcare professionals and hairstylists recommend Nutrafol for healthier hair. Nutrafol.com, spelled Nutrafol.com, promo code Lala. That's Nutrafol.com, promo code Lala. You guys, it is finally shorts and t-shirt weather. My favorite kind of weather. Time to put the jackets and sweaters in the back of the closet where they belong. And if you're like me, I know you want to update your look for the summer. but you don't want to break the bank in the process. That's where Quince comes in. Thanks to Quince, I've got a lineup of timeless pieces that keep me looking so chic all summer long. Quince has premium European linen dresses, blouses, and shorts starting at just $30. And this is my favorite part. All Quince items are 50 to 80% less than many similar brands. By partnering directly with top factories, Quince cuts the cost of the middleman and passes all those savings on to us. I am wearing my Quince cashmere tee again today, and I have no shame. I got the cream color. It's so soft. It's so comfy. So chic. Almost as soft as the Quince waffle towels that I got to put in Palm Springs. We all are obsessed with those towels. So get warm weather ready with Quince. Go to quince.com/Lala for free shipping on your order and 365-day returns. That's quince.com/Lala to get free shipping and 365-day returns. quince.com/Lala.
See, I have so many questions about you guys when you were younger, but I first... Can we?
I'm birth sorry. Birth it's just story. Her birthing story. Her birthing story. Okay, it's so just good. It's now fine. I laugh this, my you know? Ass off about
I'm
it.
I'm used to this.
I'm so because up to the point, I just want to hear the story because I want to know if there's a way to combine them, combine your experience and yours, like yes. a midwife, but also be at the hospital in case you something can. Goes yes. wrong.
Yeah. Well, like, in certain states,
like no. No, you could do,
but it's easier. In California, it's a little harder. They said the laws with that type of thing in the hospitals work well.
But here's the
in,
thing is like, no hospital is going to turn you down if you need to get to the hospital.
But by the way, I think it's less about the hospital. I think it's more about your OB. Like there were my original one, I told her I'm eating my placenta and she was like, I don't do that. So she wouldn't work with the placenta eating company. And
she probably sells them.
Probably.
Oh, God.
She's like, no, they're mine.
Oh my God, Danielle.
I'm serious. That's what I and then, the aftermath, like mine, I was like, I wonder what they just did with
did
that.
You eat it?
No, I didn't.
Really?
That's I'm vegetarian. No, really. I just,
she it really wasn't, sticks by her.
It wasn't, well, mine were put in capsules.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, I get it.
But my OB, like the hospital is really, like it's really... You and your OB being on the same page.
No, but that's the perfect thing. You have your midwife and they can come in as like your support and your totally. Advocate and they know all the medical jargon. And so if you need someone to speak on behalf for you and you're not like a super hospital medically person, they can kind of
well, work and usually with each a other. Lot of midwives work with hospitals that work with them. Like they support each other.
Got it.
There's a lot of OBs that hate midwives because obviously they think they're taking their business or whatever yeah. the – They're hostile towards them
because life right. is the business.
Yeah.
Is
They're there, like, do you know how long I went to medical school to do this fucking shit?
Right.
No, really.
Yeah. But where did, was there any point, because I know you're getting back to their story, but I'm just curious, was there any point before the labor that you're like starting to feel like maybe I should not have a midwife or maybe I should go to the hospital?
No.
What? How did this
no,
go?
No, I was okay. I was committed. Listen, I didn't even pack a hospital bag. I literally was like, if I pack a hospital bag, it means subconsciously I'm going to go to the hospital. Okay. So I was just like, I'm not even going to go there. I
mentally, you thought you'd be.
I can yeah. do this. I can do this. I just
visualizing.
I felt like I could do it.
Manifesting, visualizing. Oh,
sorry. Oh my God, Madison.
There's truth okay. to it, but also.
So I get the call that Danielle is in labor, right? Bathtub's blown up, water's in the bathtub. She's laboring like a motherfucker, all right? Madison is keeping me posted.
Because I'm kind of her doula.
Correct.
Maddie, even though yeah. I'm not trying, I hired her psychological. Sister. She told me, she's like, I need you. No matter how bad the pain gets, I need you to be there to like
Don't
cheer
let
me through.
To the hospital.
Do not let me cave. She was like, do not. I need you
be
to
like,
be
Danny,
there.
You can
Mom
do
and
this.
Nassim are going to try to get me to go to the hospital. I need you to be there to tell me to stick through it. And I was like, okay.
Right.
So Nassim is Danny's husband. And that's actually a great question. He was, what side was he on?
He wanted her in the hospital. No, okay. I remember.
He wanted, yeah, he was nervous from the get-go of just like you've brought up, like what if something happens? My midwife actually made him feel really comfortable that if I was high risk or if there was anything that was abnormal in any of my checkups, she would send me to her doctor. If, you know, she said that during labor, if something wasn't right, she would know before it ever got to the point of being dangerous.
Okay.
And she would send me.
Okay.
So, I mean, they're super smart, super
I don't
wise.
Doubt that at all.
And so she's like, there's never been, she's never had anything happen, go wrong.
Yeah.
You know, she's had to resuscitate babies because they come out black and blue, which they're trained to do that.
Right.
So
you get the call.
I felt yeah. very safe with her.
Well, I get the call that she's laboring and but then I wake up because I'm checking my phone and it was like midnight my time, maybe 1 a.m.
Two of us because we're in
Texas. Okay, so it was midnight and Madison said we're going to the hospital. But by the way, not looking back, just because I knew Danielle's plan, and I just sometimes when we all have this plan in place and it doesn't go accordingly, it goes back to like we just all kind of have to roll with the punches. Like life just is gonna happen, and this is the game plan. And the most important thing was getting Rome out safe, right?
Absolutely.
Obviously, that was the end goal.
But
before you decided to go to the hospital at 2 a.m.
I labored hardcore.
She tried. She really.
I literally spent 10 hours of back-to-back contractions. They were what, like a minute apart?
Like a minute apart.
Did you push?
No, I never got
to push. She only at home, she only got dilated up to like 10 hours.
And this is the worst part. And this is the only thing I feel like. No, there was a couple other things. But that was the hardest part was I kept throwing up. Like literally 20 times in that whole time, I threw up. Contract, I'd throw up. And I always had heard that that's a good thing because that means you're close. Mm. So I was like, shit, we're going. We're getting there.
And then the midwife's like, you're not going anywhere.
And so she tested me. And she's like, you're only 5
Reality sets in.
Centimeters.
She texted you?
No, she tested me.
Oh.
Tested. She texted me. Yeah.
She was doing this over Zoom. I was delivering the baby adjustment.
Yeah. And she texted me.
I was a pseudo doula.
Yeah. Okay. So 10 hours and I literally had nothing left in my stomach.
She looked over at me.
White. Like, I had no energy. I could barely even talk.
The tub wasn't helping at that point. She'd been in the
I'd get out of the tub. I'd go in the tub. I'd do
the stairs.
Is the
tub warm?
Yeah. Yeah, it was warm.
And still your midwife is like, no, we got this.
She just supported me.
Okay.
And so there was never a point where she was like, we need to go. It was finally my call where I was just like, I can't do this anymore.
Because she was like, we can, if you really want to do this, we can do this. But I'm just telling you, we might, like, I can't give you a timetable. You're not progressing. This could go on as it is for another 5 hours.
Oh, my gosh.
You know, so it's like you just have to lay out the reality. And then
I was like trying to lift my arms.
And she's like, I don't think I can.
And I think there was a moment where like I was like, okay, I'm going to just get back in the tub and see if I can just get mentally there.
Right, relax.
To see if I could just keep going. And I got in the tub and I was like, I'm going to throw up again. And I literally threw up again. And I was like, I can't do this anymore.
Did you throw up in the tub?
I'm sure.
No, you were back up in the bed over at that point, and she had you turn to the side to get in a different position.
I screamed.
And she, yeah.
It was horrible. But it, like the back-to-back contractions, like where you don't get a break.
No, I can't even imagine.
No.
I mean, I know how I am with period cramps. I'm like, give me an epidural.
It was the most excruciating pain I have ever been in my entire life.
So you're like, I gotta go. You hop.
She looks at me at one point and she's like, I don't think I can do this. And there, everyone's looking to Danny to make the decision. Like, we can go to the hospital. And she's like, I can't do this. I was like, let's get you to the hospital. And like, just let's go. No more back and forth. Like,
and my
something's not progressing for a reason.
Totally.
Like, let's go. Like, this is unnecessary at this point.
And my midwife looks at my husband and goes, go grab her hospital bag.
And not like, back.
We don't
and
have
then
one.
Steve looks at me and goes, what bag? And I'm like, we don't have one. Just get in the car and go. All right. Spontaneous. Yes. Let's go.
2 o'clock, 2 a.m.
My mom whips into Mama Bear gear and
people were just grabbing stuff. And I was just like, get me to the hospital. We'll get stuff later. Like, let's just go.
Yeah.
So car contractions are the worst.
Really?
Yes.
I'm like trying to rub her back or do something to calm
me.
Her. Don't touch me.
Yeah.
I didn't want to be touched. I just was like trying to breathe through them. I probably had like
6 in the car, and I was just like, I was done.
So do you go to the ER? I'm so confused.
Labor and drop into the ER. When we first went to the ER, and there was like a gunshot wound before us, and they were like, we're like, we have a woman in labor, and they're like, we have a guy that just got shot. Deal with your labor somewhere else. We're like,
in labor and delivery, there's like a whole department for you.
Yeah. And so we had to like get in the car again and go to a different door.
So it's whatever doctor's working.
Yeah, I lucked out on that.
Well, and that they had midwives on, so there was.
But my midwife came really with me and stuck with me the whole time. So she was my advocate, and I was still like, "Listen, at this point, just give me the
epidural."
Epidural.
How quick did it kick in?
So you get there and they have to make sure your blood's okay. So that took an hour.
No,
I had to wait like an hour to get it. So that's why they gave me the laughing gas. They were like, you look like you're gonna die, so here's some gas.
And did it help?
A little bit. It got me through that.
So they zip you into a room. There's an open room. Yes. I guess. Yes. Okay, so there's an open room.
Yes.
Family gets to come in.
Yes.
And then just you meet your doctor.
Yeah, but you're dealing with like most of the nurses most of the time.
Okay. Yes, the only time the doctor pops in when the baby's coming.
Got it. Yeah, or she comes in, introduces herself. I'm the doctor on call.
What you're going to get with nurses. They can either be amazing and they're awesome and you're like, oh, thank God. Or they're just like
rude because they see like a lot of babies. Like your birth is not special.
Robotic almost.
Yeah. It's the most special day of your entire life and they've delivered like 14 before your baby came.
Yeah.
So immediately you're like epidural.
Epidural. And it was glorious.
Nassim, how are you feeling at this point? I know he's got the baby right now.
Happy to see her get some relief.
Okay. He was happy to see her get some relief.
I've never.
When we were at the bathtub stage, like I was in tears at one point.
Yeah, he was crying. It was rough. It was really rough.
Pretty rough there. So I was.
I was like, "This. You asked for this."
Felt a lot better once we got
there. Yeah.
How quick did the baby come after epidural?
Not quick.
So I was still determined to have a vaginal delivery.
Did they give you Pitocin to like?
Yes. So it gets even worse. So I mean, not horribly worse, but so they say, okay, we got the epidural. They're like, your water still has not broken, which I thought it broke because, come to find out, I just kept peeing my pants. When I wasn't in the tub, I was like, and that's got to be my water. And I got to the hospital, and they're like, no, your water's still intact. So
like, lovely.
Like,
so I've cool. just been urinating just all over myself.
All over myself. That's cool. At this point, I didn't care, so it was fine. But so they're like, all right, we can either break it now and try and get things going, or we can let you sleep for a little bit because you do look like you're going to die. So I was like, let me sleep. Like, I need to sleep. So I slept for a couple hours.
And they'll be like, you'll be dilated by morning probably. Like, it'll probably kick in. You're going to be ready to go come morning time.
You're still contracting, all of that. So I slept for a few hours. They came back in and they're like, your water's still not breaking, so let's break it for you. So they broke it. And
did you feel it? Because I heard that's painful. Is that not painful?
No, because she had the epidural.
It was glorious.
They do put like a hook up in there and though and do it.
Yeah.
But you don't know what the fuck is going on.
Okay.
You're numb from the waist down.
Yeah, it was great. Yeah. Nassim looked over at the monitor and was like, do you feel that? You're having a contraction. I was like, no, I feel good. This is fun.
So they break it and the baby shoots out.
No.
Okay.
No, I wish. So then, so they're like, all right, so we're going to let this, see how this goes. And I think it was like a few more hours later and they're like, you're still not progressing anything. Like, what? Yeah, we need to, let's give you some Pitocin, which is the fake.
It kickstarts you into contracting.
Did you get it, Lala?
Yes.
Yeah. Okay.
And that's like one thing I did not want.
All right? When I give birth, you give me all that shit.
Do not do this. Yeah. But I was like, at this point, again, like, you just have to surrender. And I was like, yep, just go for it. So I started contracting more and more. And every time I'd have a contraction, my baby's heart rate would just drop. And nurses would come running in because it would get really, really low. And me with no energy, because I still haven't eaten, they'd have like me flip over to my side or flip over to the other
side.
Keep
in mind, her leg, she's numb from the waist down. And she has to.
Up with cords. Like, I have to show you some pictures. They're crazy. So then at one point, they're like, we need you to get on your hands and knees.
On all fours, like a dog. Numb.
My heart is racing.
Okay. And they'd have to like help me pick my body up. to turn to try and get his heart rate to go back up because it would get dangerously low. And at one point I had like five nurses in there, like trying to move my body. So then they were like, okay, we need to give you a drug to stop this Pitocin because he's not liking it. So they give me this drug and all of a sudden I was like, I don't feel good. And then I started throwing up. So this drug like literally made me sick. I don't even remember what it was called, but it stopped my contractions, but made me super sick. So again, I started throwing up.
Are you furious at this point? Because you didn't want that medicine and then they made you take it.
She surrendered at this point.
Just like, I don't know what's going on at this point.
Okay.
Like, I'm just trying to be pleasant with myself and trying to.
And then the nurses are, it's just like a waiting game. It's like a time thing, you know? And it's like, okay, what could we, and that's when it was kind of like.
And so then they checked me and they were like, okay, you're at like a 7 or an 8. You're still not ready to push. So we're going to just like ride this out, see what happens. So we're going to let it ride for a little bit longer. Finally, they come back in a few more hours later and they're like, we're going to give you another hit of Pitocin, see if we can get this baby out. And I was like, okay, let's do it again. And again, anytime he would contract, like meaning tried to come down.
Yeah. Because the contraction is the baby working his way to the birth
canal. Trying to get
birth canal.
I didn't know that, but that's good to know.
Yeah.
The body is an incredible thing.
He would drop again, every contraction. So again, another cycle of the drug that stopped the contractions that made me sick, that I started throwing up.
God. I'm
like
furious.
Two rounds of that. And I was just like,
she's handling it like a champion. Oh. She's just sitting
there. What are you doing,
I'm
Madison?
Just there because there's so many nurses. And then you also, we would have to alternate because they didn't want too many people. So then it was like,
I don't even remember
we'd have
that.
To alternate coming in and out. Oh. And
going. You're updating Lala.
I'm updating Lala.
Okay.
Kind of updating everybody in our family. And she's just looking like she's like, no, energy. Like, just get
I was
this
like, I
over
don't even
with.
Know if I'm going to have enough energy to push. Like, yeah. I didn't.
I felt so mad.
So the after like six nurses were in my room, they finally were like, we're going to call the doctor. So she comes in and she's like, here's the thing. We really do feel like he's got something going like in his way from coming down, which is why he's becoming stressed anytime he tries to get down.
He's trying just so hard to come into the world.
And he just couldn't. He just couldn't was like hitting down. Something. So my doctor was like, we can keep doing this, but you're not accelerating anymore, and it's getting kind of close to the point of like we need to get him out.
And he's stressed in there.
Yeah.
So it was again my choice because the beautiful hospital I went to.
She had an emotional moment when they said
the word
C-section.
They support the woman. They don't like rush you into a C-section because they want to. They really gave me the opportunity to like, I want to keep going or. I was just like, fuck it. Let's just get this baby out. And I had to surrender to that because that was like my worst case scenario. Really? Was a C-section.
So I have two game changers to share with you when it comes to upping your glam game. I am totally obsessed with Impress No Glue Manis and Impress Press-On False Eyelashes because I'm very into just easy right now. And anyone can do it. You are going to love them just as much as I do. Both require zero glue, so there is no damage to your natural nails and lashes. There's also no annoying dry time. And the best part, zero mess. One step and you're done. The lash style options are endless, and there are so many on-trend nails to choose from. Impress, No Glue Manis, and Press-On Falsies are the easiest and fastest way to upgrade your look in just minutes. The Press-On Falsies have a unique underlash application for a totally seamless look and are made with an exclusive self-stick technology that keeps them secure for up to 24 hours. The Impress Manis have a patented super hold adhesive for up to 7 days secure hold, and that's perfect for all of you busy mamas out there who don't have a lot of time to spend on glam but want to look your best. I completely get it. Impress No Glue Manis and Impress No Glue Press-On Falsies are absolutely a beauty must. You need to try them right now, so get yours today at impressbeauty.com/Lala and use code Lala at checkout for 25% off Impress Manicure and Press-On Falsies. That's impressbeauty.com/Lala and use code Lala at checkout for 25% off.
What's up, everyone? It's Reality Steve, your number one source for all things Bachelor Nation and reality TV. Every day, I'm giving you the behind-the-scenes juice and your info on all your Bachelor Nation stories, and also interviewing some of your favorite reality stars. My name has been synonymous with spoilers, but I'm so much more than that. Give me a listen.
The Reality Steve Podcast, part of the Believe Network. Just search BLEAV on YouTube or wherever you listen.
Did your midwife have an opinion? Was she like, no.
She was kind of like, something's holding him up.
She even was like,
the midwife was even like, there's
no reason why he shouldn't be.
Something's
going on.
Yeah.
And it was. The umbilical cord was wrapped around his neck.
And his head.
He had it and
wrapped
his foot.
Around and around, like this way.
Yeah.
So this cord around the top of his head was in the way of the cervix, or right at the cervix. So anytime he tried, it would pull him back up. I think if I would have waited, it would have turned into an emergency
C-section. I think it would have too.
Absolutely.
And this is why, like, looking at it now, because we know he's here and healthy, we can laugh because it's like we make plans and God laughs. But it was like, in that point in time, you just want the kid
you
out.
You just have to
healthy.
Surrender.
Well, and the mom too.
Right. Because there's a lot of moms who, you know, it starts affecting their health. And that was just like.
It was crazy. And I don't like look back and like, it, poor me. Like, I'm upset about the way things turned out. Like, I have the perfect baby and my delivery was exactly the way it was supposed to be.
The doctor was so chic. She came in and she put so everybody at peace. She was like. It was she gets to do whatever is going to go down.
That's beautiful because you didn't want this experience. You could have had an asshole doctor. They exist, but you had a beautiful.
She was really.
I need to send her.
So what? C-section. Do they like rush in and then there's like tools? And
I don't think it was emergency at that point.
Okay.
It was calm. Okay. It was very calm, peaceful. Nassim got to go in the room with me. I didn't feel a single thing. It's very quick and it's very like. You just feel pressure.
Mm-hmm.
You don't feel them cutting you open, but you feel like them like pushing the baby out.
Right.
They'll like push it up the top of your stomach, I think, to push him out. Mm-hmm. And you have like a tarp, right? Okay. So like while they're cutting you open, nobody, like Nassim, who's sitting next to me, he can't see him. He can't see over there like them actually cutting me open.
No. Okay. There's like a
partition. But then they ask me, do you want to see him when we pull him out? So, yeah, so I was like, yeah, I want to see it. Like, I want as much experience during this as I can get. So I literally, like, put my head up and watched them, like, pull him out of me.
Oh, that's so cute.
It was cool. It was really cool.
To see him. I didn't realize. I thought they pull him out and they rush them off.
My phone. No.
To clean him up.
They do. They do. But they said, do you want to see him first? And I said, yeah.
So he didn't go directly onto your chest?
No. That's another
thing. I don't
think
they can after a C-section.
Not after a C-section?
They have. There's some hospitals now that will do it.
Yeah.
But no, this was my first glance at him. And it's still like kind of a hard memory.
She was a little hormone. Yeah. She showed me photos and she's like, I'm so sad. It's still really hard to see. His entry in the world. Like, Danielle, he's not going to remember this.
I saw him. But that's how I first saw him.
Wait, what's wrong?
Is that plastic?
It's plastic.
Okay, so she's showing a photo that is the baby through the plastic.
Oh, he's Rome. So gorgeous.
Oh, thank you. But that was, and I'm bawling. I'm just like,
of course.
He's here. Every
look
the motion.
It. See, I think this is a beautiful photo.
Really?
Oh my God, I got
yes.
Goosebumps. Yes,
sad. I do because
it's sad because of what I wanted. But again, I'm learning to just let it go.
But so here's the funniest part about it all is I asked her, would you ever do a home birth and birth again? She was like, I will never, ever take me straight to a hospital to give birth.
I will never ask my husband for a home birth ever again in my entire life.
I
was number one advocate for it. So.
I know. And your experience.
Just everyone. Yeah, it's.
This
There's
is such
so
a
many
broader thing, right?
Yeah.
We all live our lives due to the experiences that we have personally
gone through. Yeah.
Yeah. With everything.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
I don't fuck with that because I've been through this. So it's hard when you're trying to tell people why you pick to do certain things.
Yeah.
Because you're constantly coming from a place of, you don't know because I've experienced it. You know?
Yeah.
You wouldn't understand.
Well, this is a free will realm, right? It's like our mom wanted her to just have a nice birth in a hospital.
Right.
Like, Danielle was a C-section. And then my mom had a baby every single way. A natural one, she's like, never.
Right.
And then epidural babies, and she's like, just do it, just do it. But Danielle was so, no. My decision is to do it this way. And so it's like, at that point, you just got to let people do what they want to do.
I would watch like YouTube home birth videos and stuff, and they were just so beautiful. And you're like, I can do that.
Yeah.
I can do that.
But it just.
I got mind fucked.
Right, but you know,
like,
what?
It literally, I don't know. I don't know if like women, that women's bodies handle labor, and I'm sure they do handle labor differently.
There's so many different factors,
of course,
and that's why like there is.
But shout out to women that do it natural because
it is beautiful and it's.
But Danielle, I think you. I honestly think you could have done it naturally, but there was something was keeping him inside.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, but
there was nothing that you could have done.
And you have nothing to prove.
No, but
no.
Again, like, I don't ever want to go through that experience again. No. So
do you? I just feel like, because my labor experience, I wish that every single day I could do it again over and over again. Like, if I could literally just do that every single day, like Groundhog's Day.
Yeah.
I would do it.
That's amazing. That's like a really happy story.
Yeah, I know. And that's why beautiful. I feel badly, because everyone that's pregnant, I'm like, it's going to be amazing. You're not going to feel anything. They just slip right out. And again, it's because Ocean kind of, like, I rolled into the hospital at 8 a.m. I was a little hungry. So they were like, we're not going to do anything then until you eat. So at 11 is when they started like the laboring process and inducing me.
Yeah.
And then at like 10, they broke my water and they were like, we're going to clean you up because the bed is soaking wet. And I was like, I don't even feel it. Yeah. And I'm so tired.
Yeah.
So just leave it. So I just like slept in water all night. And then at 6 a.m. they come in, stick the fingers up, and they were like in and out all night, obviously, check, you know, finger banging me to check my cervix. And at 6 they were like, oh, the head is, we're there. And they said, give us a test push. So I did one little, and they go, stop. Do not do anything. I'm looking at the head. We got to get the doctor in here. So I had to wait for the doctor. The doctor's like, oh, yeah, that's the head. Yeah, we're doing this.
There we go.
I'm sitting there pushing. And I'm like, am I doing it? They're like, you're doing it. I'm looking at her. It was like 7 pushes, and she was out.
How? Oh! That's beautiful.
I know. That's why I feel so badly. I shouldn't tell anyone about my birthing experience.
No. They all get here, and they're all... It's
Rome is beautiful.
But thanks, I did this girl. To Danielle. I projected.
Yeah,
Rome. Okay.
He's beautiful. He's
perfect.
Healthy. He was healthy, right? There was
so healthy. Nothing wrong.
So everyone's wrong. Experience is different.
He had a scowl when he came out because I think he was a little.
Well, you have a scowl.
He got my scowl. But
well, he was like, bitch, you're trying to make me give birth at home, and I'm all like
yanked
by this umbilical cord and shit.
Oh yeah, it was traumatic. I look back and I'm like. Fucking birth is hard. And I wasn't expecting that.
Women are superheroes.
It's wild to think women used to do it at home.
Yeah.
Like there were probably babies that had to pass away because
of it. You didn't have an option.
Yeah.
You didn't even have the option to have a different, you know, it was like, it is what it is. Here we go. And you had no way to even know what it was going to feel like, be like, all of it.
You just had to fight through it, which I thought I could do. But
is it weird, Madison, to be like, because you've obviously known me since childhood, your sister, you've known your whole life. Is it weird to be like, wow, these people are like responsible for human beings?
Yeah, kind of, because you guys were such degenerates also for so long, you know? But it's so beautiful to see the growth and like the next chapter, because some people like seriously just continue that party and they just like stay in that. And it's like, so to see it go from like, oh, wild free Hooligans. Spirits just pushing the limits.
We were wild.
Yes, and then now you guys are like the most amazing mothers.
Aww, thanks, both. Mil Mil. We're doing it, D.
We're doing it.
Wait, what do you mean we were degenerates? I thought we were fun.
I mean, people who get shit face and fun, it's degenerate behavior. It's fun, but it's like you're not like,
Maddie had to have like a serious conversation with us.
No, when you two would do your edibles and then get.
She'd be like, Danny, you're not fun.
You guys aren't fun. Well, you would get angry. And then you guys would be like writing, you'd be in the same realm. And then no one else would be in that realm with you.
And then you just, there was no consideration for any organization or rules. Let's say like we had to like take a car somewhere. It was like babysitting. It was hell. And then you're trying to like have fun.
So were you?
Yeah, you guys had fun. Yeah.
Why didn't you get on that realm? You just chose not to.
Maddie went through like a very. I lived in New York, but I was having my own fun in New York.
Oh, yeah.
But I was, you know, I was like, that was a whole other chapter for me.
There was this one. This one.
Oh no.
Because she wants to like place blame that we were like pure debauchery all the time.
Oh shoot, is my past gonna come up right now?
Yeah, it is.
Is it the sailboat?
The sailboat?
No.
No, okay. This is on the rooftop at EPLP.
Oh, yeah.
We go to brunch.
Yes.
We get wasted. At brunch, we meet this older couple. And when I say older, they're 60s? In their 70s.
Yeah, it's old.
Late 60s, early 70s, all right? And we're like, we're going to EPLP. We become best friends with them. We go to this rooftop. We continue drinking.
They come with us.
They come with us.
The old couple.
Yes.
They're like, we want to hang out with you guys. You guys
they
are
come
fun.
With us.
We're like, come on.
Madison is wasted to the point where like she starts crawling in these
No. This is not how it went down.
How are you going to tell me how it went down?
Why did I start doing that?
All right. Why did you start crawling through the
shrubs? Because my sister got nasty with me.
Oh,
I did?
And yes, we got in a little bit of a tiff and you said something and I was like, fine, I'm just going to do what you guys do. I'm going to do whatever I want.
I don't remember this.
And so I started exactly... So I started just doing whatever, and I was just, I don't know what I was doing.
Well, it backfired.
I committed to proving that point.
It backfired. It
is my point. And the bouncer comes over to me. I'm like, what are you going to do, kick me out?
He kicked all of us out.
I was like, fine, I'm ready to go home anyway. I'm tired.
Okay, so we, our elderly friends get kicked out as well. They have to come with us. So they, I don't know, in the midst of my, like, edible and vodka fog, the old couple comes up to me and they're like, they're not letting us leave. So I go up to the valet and I was like, you have to let them leave. Give them their car. Like, they just want to go home. And he goes, they're not okay. I said, they're fine. They're like old people. And he goes, well, they just crashed their Porsche into the cement wall. So I'm going to say, no, they're not okay. I was like, oh, bye, Bob and Nancy. Gotta run.
It was the weirdest fucking night.
See, but that's, we're degenerate.
100%.
Know? That's not like stand-up behavior in a society. These are people.
That's fun. I mean, how
we have
old
such
were you?
Great stories.
You were in your
20s.
This
is like last year. Just
kidding. No, we were young. We were in our early 20s. Yeah.
I'm dying because you've told. I don't know if you've told the story on the podcast about when there was a guy and Danielle was yelling through the vent or something.
It was James Kennedy.
See, you have to tell that on the podcast.
Oh, I'm
see, but Danielle had rage.
Danielle, when
so
she,
when she would drink, we would call her Bianca because she turned into this like angry. She was dealing with heart, like the men in Los Angeles, and being heartbroken, and then just drinking and taking it all out on us.
Yeah, she would get mean.
Yeah. See, but look at her now. Look at the growth.
An angel.
No, but it be the unconditional love. There we go. Full circle. Love. No, there was a night that I was, we were out and about. Danielle was.
I got sent home early.
I sent your ass home early.
Yeah, I got sent home a couple different times.
Yeah. Me and Tiffany put your ass in an Uber and said,
I think I was like crying.
Get her home safe.
I was
safe.
Like crying at the club. I was just being a bitch.
We were on Sunset Boulevard.
It's because of men. It was because of a man.
Yeah. Oh, no.
Not crying at the club.
She was crying at the club.
Club.
I was like, I'm not trying
you
to deal with
this.
You
need to go home. You guys are
so
good
we,
friends.
I would never do this now. Just put my friend wasted and so upset into an Uber and be like, get her home safe.
Yeah.
But well, I did.
I got home safe.
You fell out of the window and smacked your head on the concrete.
I'm okay, though.
See, pain tolerance, okay. You guys. I'm She's okay. Like, what, I got hit by a car? I didn't even feel it.
But before this happens, I invite James over, and we're talking at the Olympic apartment, and she storms out of her bedroom, Danielle does.
I was already asleep.
You were asleep, passed out. But she gets up.
And you guys were being loud. They were being loud. And I was trying to sleep.
Yeah. And yells down the hall, shut the fuck up. And I look at James and I was like, all right, Danielle, go to bed. go to bed. And she storms towards me and I like kind of shoo her off and take James to my room. She puts her foot where the door is to stop it. I was like, get the fuck out of my space. She proceeds, I lock the door, proceeds to go into her bedroom and we share a vent, right? We share
a wall vent.
A wall vent. Is screaming through the vent. She's a whore. Lala's a whore, James. Ask her who she had in her bed last night. Ask her, whore. And then and James and I are looking at each other. And I'm like, I'm not a whore. I'm just someone that's having fun. I'm just sexually free. Oh, I always use a condom. So
it's the why? Screaming it through the vent. That is.
I had to get the last word.
That's yeah. So fucking funny. And you hearing the echo.
No, I could hear it through the vent.
That's funny.
It was like
shit
a rickety,
ever.
Like janky apartment. And then it's just like dead silent. I wake up the next morning. I go in her room and I stand over her with my hands on my hips. And she goes, good morning. I go, do you know what you said to me last night? And I tell her. She felt so bad that she bought me an Einstein's bagel. Aww. You paid for my breakfast that morning.
I feel really bad. Like, it's funny, but it's not. That's not okay.
I thought it was hysterical.
That's funny. That's a funny story. But I laughed so hard at that story. I've heard it like six times.
She later took one for the team with like that guy. Remember when I put the guy in your bed?
Oh,
I put the guy. I put Saint in your bed. Because the guy that I just, like, moved into the apartment.
Oh, yeah.
Came home and I was like, I hid this guy in Danielle's room. We can't have sex tonight because I already had sex with him. Wow. I may have been a hoe. It's fine. It's fine. It's
okay. You only live once.
You'll repent when you feel like you're ready.
I don't need to repent.
Okay.
My cookie needs to do the repenting because she want what she won't.
She won't.
Oh, Rome
she's
is.
Gonna go, Rome needs her, she's going to go.
Rome needs his mama.
Yeah.
This was so a much fun. What a tangent of a podcast.
I mean, I giggled a lot. I do feel like I did some DMT.
Y'all, thank you so much for listening to another episode of the Give Them Lala podcast. I love you all. Happy hump day. Throw back a drink for me. If you don't drink, have some Perrier on my behalf. I love you. Catch you next week.
Welcome to Talkville, the ultimate Smallville rewatch podcast. Guest star Sarah Carter as Alicia Baker. Although I didn't really work with her a lot. But Tom did, and they had some real big smoochy scenes.
Yeah. Should we talk about that?
Could there be any more sex? What was a 3-page makeout scene that just kept going? Good Lord. We get it. They have chemistry.
Jump in now or catch up on any of the past seasons of Talkville on YouTube or wherever you listen.